Hi, I'm Erwin McManus, and this is the Mosaic Podcast. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. And if you're one of our regular listeners, we love the fact that you journey with us. And we pray that every single message inspires you and helps you become the person that God created you to be. Every single week, we send a new message across the world. And everything we do here at Mosaic is made available to everyone in the world for absolutely free. The reason we can do that is that we have incredible people who give generously and sacrificially to make this possible. And I want to invite you to join us. If you're already a giver, thank you so much. If this is something you've not yet done, I want to invite you to start doing that now. Go to mosaic.org/give and give a one-time gift, or even beyond that, become a recurring giver here at Mosaic. And if you're one of those individuals who God has blessed in an amazing way financially, I want to invite you to become one of our partners here at Mosaic. What's really beautiful about Mosaic is that our biggest givers are families who do not live here in Los Angeles, but they are so committed to the message of Jesus going to the world that they support the work here from Los Angeles to the ends of the earth. And so I want to invite you again, go to mosaic.org/give, become a part of our support system, become one of our partners. And more than anything else, I want you to listen to the message, allow Jesus to speak to you in a way that will change your life. Father, I thank you that you are the God in real time, that you meet us where we are and how we are and who we are, that we don't have to negotiate with you the value of us being worthy of love. You're constantly trying to convince us of our value, that we are worthy to be loved. God, I pray that in this moment, no matter where each person is in the spectrum of their journey with you, whether close or far, they would experience just for one moment an overwhelming sense that they are seen and that they matter, that their life is not an accident. They're created with significance and value. And Jesus, we are so grateful that you created a rhythm in our lives where we could be arrested by your presence and reminded that you're always with us. And for that, we thank you and we pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Just thank God one more time for this day, guys. You can have a seat. One of the new phrases that I've had to catch up to that didn't exist while I was developing and growing as a human being was this idea of trigger words. We just didn't even have the concept of trigger words, but it seemed almost the moment we came up with this concept of trigger words, words that trigger you, well, that triggers me. It was almost like a runaway pandemic. Now we're triggered by everything. And I haven't really been able to identify a lot of words that I'm triggered by, but I did find one. I am absolutely triggered by the word easy. Whenever I hear the word easy, I'm just short of a seizure. I get this twitch. Easy money, easy peasy, right? It's the moment someone tells you something is easy, run. But there's something about us that's drawn to easy, because easy is the opposite of hard. And I think ironically, a lot of us are drawn to faith because we thought that faith was the spiritual equivalent of easy. And I think that's why a lot of us will become incredibly disenchanted with God. Because if God's not going to make it easy, what's the point of letting him have so much say in our lives? In fact, if it gets worse than that, because if it's hard and you just make your own choices, at least it's hard free, right? I'm free to decide whatever I want because life is hard. But if
if you're going to give God some say in your life and he doesn't make it easy, then what's the point? Because I think really the truth is a lot of us run to places like this, not because we're in an existential crisis trying to figure out what the meaning of life is. We're just trying to figure out how to make life a little bit easier. We're just looking for easy. And then when we discover that faith is anything but easy, that's when we tap out. So I'm hoping if I accomplish nothing else today, I want to give you one more new trigger word. Whenever you hear the word easy, I just hope you start twitching. Don't do that. Don't say that. Right. Marriage is not easy. Relationships are not easy. Success is not easy. Greatness is not easy. I cannot think of anything worth any value at all that's easy. So, in fact, if you're still somewhat mesmerized by the possibility that there's a path for your life that's easy, I want you to realize that you're being drawn into the lowest version of you. And then there's Jesus, who you think came to make things easy. And there's an odd kind of, I think, confusion. Because having, by the way, a relationship with Jesus is, in that sense, quite easy. Well, for us. See, you don't have to work for a relationship with God. You just need to embrace it. So it doesn't get any easier than that. But the problem is that you're only looking at one side of the equation, because sometimes when something is easy for you, it's hard for someone else. And so what we discover, even in the relationship that Jesus invites us into, that it's not an easy relationship. It's a really hard relationship, because it costs God an incredible price to make it possible. But that's not where it ends, and maybe that's not even where it begins, because Jesus says things like this in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 31. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Everything Jesus just described is not easy. In fact, it's hard. And in a parallel passage in Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 42, Jesus says it again. He says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. By the way, that's easy. Revenge is easy. Hatred is easy. Anger is easy. Jesus says, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. So just translate the language. What he's saying is what you've heard is take the easy path. Do the easy thing. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, then go 2 miles. Give to one who asks, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. If I could summarize what Jesus is saying here, is he's actually telling us, do hard things, which we somehow seem to overlook. Because you try to make it sound as if once you're connected to God, everything gets easy. Have you been waiting for it to get easy? And so I opened up my life to a personal relationship with Jesus when I was around 20 years old. And now I've lived 4.5 decades, and I'm still waiting for it to get easy. But every time I start choosing easy, I watch everything I've worked for dissipate and despair. Even the things that you do that come to you when you work hard don't stay with you if you choose easy. They all just slowly disappear. Even when it comes to who you are. You ever make hard choices to be different than you were? And then you start making easy choices? You don't stay the better version of you. It all disappears. In fact, what's really odd is that there's this like, there's a sea level to being human. Where when you're just at rest, nothing goes well. If you just go, I'm just going to chill. You ever have a cheat day? You know, some of you know what a cheat day is. Some of you do not know what a cheat day is because every day for you is a cheat day. That's why you don't know. But if you're trying like to get healthy and to lose weight and to lose, I know they say it's not about losing weight, it's about gaining muscle and losing fat. And it just all plays out the same way. But what I do know is a cheat day is the day you don't do the things that make you better. Why can't the cheat day be the day you do things that make you better? I'm going to cheat today. I'm going to be a better human being. Today, I'm going to cheat. I'm going to go to the gym. Right? Today, I'm going to cheat and be a better human being. I'm not going to lose my temper. Every other day, I get to be me. Every other day, I get to do what I want. Why is it that everything we want falls into the easy category and everything we want to want falls into the hard category? And it's almost as if, I know this is crazy, because this is sort of time separated, but Jesus is teaching 2,000 years ago. And by the way, I chose some of his more mild language so I wouldn't upset everyone in the room. But he says much harsher things. Like, if you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. That's a hard thing. In fact, another translation, because they didn't want us to miss it, it says, take up your cross daily. Just in case you thought you only had to do the hard thing one time. Now, I need you to do the hard thing of taking up your cross every day. Do the hard thing every day. And then another place where Jesus just goes off, I don't know, it's like it felt like it looks like an Adderall day. It's like he just goes, unless you hate your father and mother, your brothers and sisters, your wife and your children, yes, even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. Oh, and some of you are going, that's not hard. Oh, yeah. Wow. Talk about aftershock. That's right. That may be what your family's thinking, too. So, but what Jesus presses into is the hard things, the hard choices that have to be made if we're going to become the person God created us to be. And you would think that he would tell us in this ongoing narrative, it's going to be easy once you put your life in my hands, once you trust in me. And I know Jesus says things like, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Right? Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But why would he say that? If there wasn't a yoke that had to be carried, that didn't feel exhausting and overwhelming, if life wasn't hard. And over again, Jesus presses in and says, you need to do hard things if you're going to become the person I created you to be. And then there's this particular behind the scenes documentary on the human experience that Paul unwraps in Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read verses 5 and 6 and 9 through 11, and it's going to take us into a whole different direction just for a minute. He says, those who live according to the flesh, and we'll unwrap that word in a minute, have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. In other words, if you belong to Jesus, God's Spirit dwells in you, so this applies to you. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Hey, now, stay with me. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because His Spirit lives in you. Now, I want to kind of deconstruct this and work this backwards, because there is some extraordinary news here. I mean, just think of the relationship He gives us between the power that raised Jesus from the dead and the power that dwells in you to live everyday life. Now, He's not contrasting and saying, I want you with the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will give eternal life to you. That's not what He's saying. He's saying that He's not saying the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is going to raise you from the dead. He's actually saying the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is going to give life to your mortal body who lives in you right now. So before we get all excited about that, I just want you to see what the shadow behind that is. Why should you need power to live a human life? Because you have to do hard things. And so now let me just kind of go back and reconstruct the words, because this word flesh is not a word we really use a whole lot. And the word Spirit is describing an aspect of the human experience we're not really accustomed to. And in the Bible, it actually talks about the contrast between you as a new creation, once you've entered into a relationship with God, and you before you had that relationship with Jesus, and the after effect, the momentum of that, and they call that your old self. And so it can be called like the flesh and spirit, or the new self and the old self, but I just want to give you a new language for that. He's actually talking about the easy you and the hard you. There is an easy you, and that's what Paul would describe as the flesh. The you that is created when you do not make any hard choices in your life. That's on a whole different frequency. It's a whole different realm. And you know what that you feels like, right? And by the way, here's the tricky thing about choosing the easy you. It's a really hard life. You'll never experience more pain in your life than the aftershock of the consequence of the easy you. You'll never feel more regret. You'll never feel more longing or emptiness or disconnection than when you choose the easy version of you. And what he's actually telling us is that there's a war within us, there's a war within you, and there's the easy you fighting, and there's the hard you fighting. But the easy you has a huge advantage. All the easy you has to get you to do is nothing. The hard you has to get you to choose something extraordinary. You can't even choose average to be an expression of the new you. So when I read this and I go, he's giving us an incredibly powerful truth that the same power, because of the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, now dwells in me. But I'm sitting here going, why do I need that much power? Is life going to be that hard? And the answer is yes. Because life is hard. So you have to choose to do hard things. Oh, so back to this time gap. So Jesus is saying this 2,000 years ago. You would think, it's almost as if he had an insight to advanced neurological insights and development and discovery. I was watching this conversation between Andrew Huberman and David Goggins. Yeah. Do hard things. I don't want to do the hard things David's doing. I want to do my own hard things. But when Andrew Huberman was talking about the anterior mid-cingulate cortex, it just captured me. And I just couldn't escape it. He's talking about how they discovered this part of the brain, and I did some other research to make sure that, you know, he knew what he was talking about. And it tells us that neuroscience research on willpower has made it clear that our anterior mid-cingulate cortex is a key hub for learning in undesired effort. Your AMCC is activated by engaging in behavior you do not want to do. And so as I'm listening to Huberman, he's actually telling us that this part of our brain expands only when we do things we don't like to do, things we don't want to do. And if we do things that are hard that we want to do, it doesn't expand. But when we do things we don't want to do, it actually increases. You can actually increase your brain capacity by doing hard things. It's almost as if Jesus knew you could never become who he created you to be if you didn't decide to start doing hard things. And what's fascinating is that the implications are that this part of the brain actually affects our willpower and our will to live. And it has to do with longevity of life and the human power to overcome crisis, struggle, and even deterioration. When you don't do hard things, your brain gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. You thought you were only getting bigger, but you're getting smaller. When I don't do hard things, it doesn't just affect what other people see. It affects what I see. But when I do hard things like love my enemies, that's hard. And you know what's crazy? Loving your enemy is hard the first time. You ever try to love your enemy? You ever loved your enemy? It's hard. And you know what's crazy? You know how some things, they're hard, but then they get easier as you do it 2 or 3 times? Loving your enemy never gets easy. Every single time, it's just as hard as the last time. Everything Jesus described, if someone slaps you in the face, turn the other cheek. What are you talking about, Jesus? That's not the way it works. And he's saying, I want you to do a hard thing. I want you to choose love rather than revenge. I want you to choose forgiveness rather than retaliation. Do you know what I've discovered? When you forgive someone, and the next time someone betrays you, it's not easier. It even gets harder. Doing the right thing gets harder and harder and harder. Every time it doesn't give you the result you want. Have you ever just thought, well, I'm just done. I did the right thing. All month I did the right thing. I was like, awesome. Even God, I know, was really impressed. But I'm still poor. You're still poor because you still made the same choices. But you think God was sort of like, boom, got to change everything because for 1 month you did the right thing. I didn't get the audition. I went in doing everything right. Serving, loving, humility, kindness, compassion. I didn't get the job. Why? Because life is about doing hard things. Doing the right thing doesn't make life easier. Doing the right thing may actually make your life harder. It's been a challenging week for me. My days have been nights. My nights have been days. I think my nights have been days, and my days have been days. And that's why I haven't slept all week. Because my wife and a team from Mosaic is in one of the most militant Islamic countries in the world. Because they're still there, I'm going to leave it unnamed. And when they got there, they were working with a private school that is actually working with some of the most influential families in that country. And the first day there, The police showed up trying to take their passports away, and it got very intense. And the guy that's in charge, who lives there, who's an American, decided his best strategy was run to his house and lock his door. So Kim and her team are there without anyone on the ground mediating for them. So they have to leave the campus, or told immediately by the executive, leave the campus, go to your hotel room, lock your doors, that way they can't take your passports away, otherwise you're gonna be stuck. Day two, it got worse. The military police shows up. They sent the army, I don't think the whole army, but they sent army, and they had my wife's name. They're looking for Kim McManus. And I'm having to contact people all over the world. It's crazy though, I have to tell you, it's amazing to be a part of this community. Because at 2 a.m, imagine at 2 a.m, waking up and seeing in bold letters, I need you. Well, waking up, hadn't gone to sleep yet. But, and I see, I need you. And then she, you know, text, right? Text is a terrible way of communicating. It was something like, police have come. The guy in charge ran to his house to lock the door. We're here. Help. I'm freaking out. She goes, call someone, call the embassies, call lawyers. It's 2 a.m. No one in the United States is awake. I'm trying to get hold of everyone. I realized I know people all over the world. So I start calling people in different time zones and I find them. I have one team going, okay, we have a, we have our Navy SEAL squad ready to go and extract him and the team. Got it. Just that's one option. We got our international legal team ready to go. It was amazing how fast people started mobilizing. I had everything covered. Legal, other legal, ready to roll. And Kim's disappointed because 3 days later, they're not getting to do what they went to do. And I remember sitting down, well, just talking on the phone and saying, you need to understand something. Leadership isn't always about taking a team to success. Leadership is oftentimes teaching people how to pivot and thrive in the midst of disappointment and failure. Because succeeding may not actually grow them as powerfully as failing. Everything going smoothly may not expand who they are as powerfully as everything being disrupted, falling apart, and wondering if they're ever going to get out of the country. Because what I do know, both from advanced neurological science and the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth, is that when you do hard things, you actually expand and you're capable of what you could not ever do before. And when you do really hard things, what's the hard thing God wants for you? And by the way, I'm just gonna throw this in there. This is one of the reasons I think a lot of Christianity is so weird. You ever notice that? Like, it makes me nervous. Like, it's like super hyper spiritual, you know, it's almost like psychosis with Jesus. And I'm like, why do we get so weird? It's because we want to act spiritual without doing hard things. And it's easier, I'm just gonna say this, it's easier to pretend you're speaking in tongues than it is to forgive 70 times, 7 times. And the reason I'm saying this is that a lot of times what happens is that we want a spiritual experience and God wants a character transformation. And it only comes when you do hard things. And when you choose to become the person God created you to be, you're going to need the power of God's Spirit, because you cannot become that person alone. When I read that about the power of the resurrection in me, I'm like, you know, I have a Tesla. I've had it for like 6-7 years. And my Tesla supposedly goes 0 to 60 in like 2.3 6 seconds or something like that. And the Lamborghini goes 0 to 60 in 2.9. So it's right behind me. And supposedly, my car can go over 150 miles an hour as I go down the 101 at 17 miles an hour. And I'm sort of going, all of this wasted potential. Where do I get to accelerate 0 to 60 in 2.6? On Melrose, right? The closest I get is when I'm in the right lane at a red light. You know what I'm talking about. And there's cars parked in front of me in that lane. That's why no one's using that lane. And I know. Bye-bye. And I'm just moving. But there's all of this unaccessed power in my car that will never fulfill its potential because it doesn't have the right road to travel down. You have all of this unaccessed power, just untapped potential that will never be actualized unless you choose the right road. And the road that God wants you to choose is any road except the easy one. There is no easy road. The easy road makes life hard in all the worst ways. But when you do hard things, it creates a level of freedom you can never explain. It doesn't surprise me that the teachings of Jesus match the unique biological design of a human being. It's almost as if he created you and understands your design. And so if you read the scriptures and go, Jesus, why would you tell us to do such hard things? It's because it's the only way you will ever become the best version of you. If anyone sues you and takes your shirt, hand over your coat as well. Discover the power of generosity. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile with them, then go 2 miles. Discover the power and freedom of servanthood. If anyone slaps you in the face and you turn the other cheek, discover the power of love. He's telling us, I want you to turn everything upside down. And by the way, have you noticed? There's a gravitational force that makes the worst version of you easy. Man, being angry is easy. Have you noticed that? Loving is hard. Being bitter, that's so easy. Forgiving, that's hard. Being impatient, that's so easy. I got that down. I'm an OG in impatience. I got that. But being patient, that's hard. Being unkind, you know, I'm tired. I've had a hard day. That's why I was unkind. That's easy. Being kind, that's hard. Everything that the Bible describes as the wrong version of you is easy. And everything that the Bible describes as the God version of you is hard. So who do you want to be? The person that is the easy version of you? Or when people ask you, what happened in your life? You can say, you know, I met a God who knew me and created me. And he told me that the best version of me could only come to life if I would choose the hard things. And that if I chose to do hard things, he would meet me there with his strength and his power. And this is what I've discovered. I am capable of more than I ever imagined. I kept accepting limitations that were not real. I kept accepting definitions of who I thought I was that were not true. And every single time I did something I did not want to do, that made me better. I could feel it. It's not just my brain that got bigger. My soul got bigger. I got bigger. Something changed inside of me the moment I did the hard thing. I forgave and it was hard. I loved and it was hard. I expressed compassion and it was hard. I chose integrity and it was hard. I chose to be a person of truth and you don't know how hard that was. I chose to be authentic and it was terrifying and hard. I chose to be vulnerable and I was scared to death and it was hard. I chose to admit I needed God and that I could not do this life alone. And let me tell you, I'm so proud. I was so determined to do it myself that when I finally had to just drop on my knees and say, God, I cannot do this alone, it was hard. Because humility is hard. And all those words we don't like. Repentance is hard. Trust. It's hard. Let me tell you. Once you let easy be a trigger word and say, nah, that's not who I am. You want to know who I am? I do hard things. Oh, and by the way, you know that relationship with God that comes so easy to you? That you can neglect it, you can ignore it, you can demean it, you can diminish it. For it to happen, God had to step into human history in the person of Jesus. And he had to allow himself to be shamed and mocked and ridiculed and beaten and torn to shreds, and that was hard. He had to allow himself to be nailed to a cross by the very people he came to save. And that was hard. He had to allow himself to feel the utter rejection and separation from his Father and to cry out into eternity, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that was hard. Because the God who didn't need to do anything for us decided to do the hard thing so that we could become who he created us to be. Would you bow your heads with me just for a moment? There is a life waiting for you that is beyond your wildest imagination, your deepest comprehension. There's a person that your soul is waiting for you to become that will not come easy, will not come by accident, will only come if you make the hard choices. But it all begins with the easiest choice you could ever make. If you want to experience the life that only Jesus can give you, then let him do the hard thing for you. Let him come into your life and forgive you of all your sin. Let him come into your life and accept you and love you completely. Let him come into your life and make you new. Let him do what no one else but him can do. If you're ready to open up your life to Jesus and to cross the line of faith, I want you to pray this simple prayer with me right now. Jesus, I give you my life. Right now, just tell him, Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I give you my life. If that's your decision today, if that's your prayer, if you just whispered those words to him, Jesus, I give you my life, I just want you to hold your hand up high and I want to pray for you. And believe me, raising your hand to say, yes, I give my life to Jesus, is not a hard thing, even though it may feel terrifying. If that's you, just raise your hand right now. Just do the hard thing. Just say yes. Right now. Anyone else? Beautiful. Beautiful. Father, I thank you for each person who has opened up their life to you. I pray that you would just wrap them up in your love and let them know they belong to you. I pray that you give them the courage to live a big, bold, beautiful life. I pray, God, that they would step out of this prayer knowing that they were created to do hard things. They are made for this. They're designed for this beautiful life. Fill them with courage and faith and boldness. Help them see that their life is significant, that it has value, that it has intention. And God, I pray that you would not allow any of us to settle for less. I refuse easy. I deny easy in my life. I stand on easy's throat and I destroy it. I choose the hard. I'm designed and created to do hard things. And that's the life that I choose, the path that I walk, the future I create. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to thank you so much for joining us today on the Mosaic Podcast. As God has spoken into your life, one of the things that Jesus teaches us is that when we've been invested in, we need to also become investors. And I want to encourage you right now, if Mosaic is one of the platforms from which you grow spiritually, you connect more deeply to God, and your faith with Jesus becomes more real, I want to encourage you right now to go to mosaic.org and become one of our givers. Give a one-time gift, become a recurring giver, become a part of what God's doing across the world. Mosaic isn't just a church in Los Angeles. Mosaic is all of us working together.